Let us pray. Holy Spirit, descend upon us now and lift us up through Christ to the Father. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, when I was a boy, I had a phobia of snakes. Montana boasted three kinds of snakes. Well, still boasts, you could say, three kinds of snakes. You had your kind of water snake, garter snakes, the little ones. You had the bull snakes, which were a kind of constrictor snake. And then you had the infamous rattlesnakes. Now, my parents were terrified that I would do what an average little boy would do, that I would wander out into our yard, see a snake, pick it up, and it would be a rattlesnake. And so they took every opportunity they could to warn me about the dangers of snakes. Later on, when I was in college, I realized that this is how phobias are created. Don't go near snakes. Run away from snakes. Don't pick up snakes. If snakes bite you, you could die. And I got the message. I shied away from every clump of tall grass. There might be a snake in there. My little fingers couldn't even open up the pages of a National Geographic that had pictures of all those pretty green snakes. And every wrinkle in my sheets was a serpent in the depths of the night. And this all came to a head one day. We had a couple bum calves in the corral, and my mother left the trailer to feed them. I decided to follow, so I stepped out onto the little deck, and my mother had just reached the board gate. It was across the little creek on the road, about 100 feet from the edge of our yard. She turned and she shouted back, "Nevada, stay in the house. There's a rattlesnake on the road." A surge of adrenaline shot through my 5-year-old body. I slammed the door and I ran screaming back and forth through the trailer. "Snake! Snake! Snake! Snake!" I think it's safe to say that I had a phobia, a special phobia of snakes as a child. Well, sisters and brothers, in our culture, we also have a special phobia. A phobia of suffering. As a culture, we are terrified of suffering. Like well-meaning parents, our cultural influencers take every opportunity to warn us about the dangers of suffering. Suffering is bad. Don't play with suffering. Run away from suffering. If suffering bites you, you might die. And we get the message, and we shy away from every clump of tall grass in our lives. There might be suffering in there. Our little fingers can hardly turn the pages of the Bible when it mentions suffering. And we do everything in our power to avoid suffering. When suffering makes an appearance on life's road, the culture shouts a warning. "Stay in the house! There's suffering on the road!" And the adrenaline rushes through us. We slam the door and we go back and forth through the trailer, screaming, running, "Suffering! Suffering! Suffering!" We have a phobia, a special phobia in our culture of suffering. It's one of the reasons why we tend to hide it, hospitals and elsewhere, and not want to look at it. But of course, as St. Paul notes in our epistle reading this morning, we endure sufferings in the present time. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And some sufferings are fairly mundane, little garter snakes of inconvenience. Our car starts pulling towards the right, and we hear that telltale thump, 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 thump. another flat tire. And other soft rings are a bit more like those big constrictor bull snakes. The phone rings, the investors are backing out. Sorry, Bob, the numbers just don't add up. And then there are the sufferings of the infamous rattlesnakes. The real sufferings. The doctor's clenched jaw outside the ER. I'm sorry. The slammed door. I hate you. And the priest throwing dirt on the casket. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. We do everything in our power to avoid the clumps of tall grass. We have a phobia of suffering. But phobias keep us from living fully in the world. They paralyze us. My phobia of snakes only began to wane when I was about 18 years old, and I was out irrigating our hay fields. With a shovel in hand and boots on my feet, I was wading through the tall grass to see how far the water had made it across the field. Rattlesnake buzzes right beside me. I jump sideways. My hands are shaking. But then I did what I'd seen my father do. I lifted my shaking shovel and I slammed it down again and again and again and again on the place where that stupid snake was. That day my phobia died. And I learned something. I didn't have to be afraid of snakes. Snakes are not the end of the world. They die easily. Oddly enough, it was dealing with the snake that set me free from the phobia of snakes, the fear of snakes. And this morning, the Holy Spirit sends us out into life's hayfields to deal with our phobia of suffering. Sufferings are not the end of the world. They die easily. St. Paul writes in our text, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and obtain the glorious liberty of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning and travail together until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait for the adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. Sufferings are not the end of the world because glory is the end of the world. You see, at the end of all things, the triune God will resurrect us from the dead. The redemption of our suffering bodies, made new, strong, whole, alive, fullness, transfigured in glory like Christ's body. And all the pains and difficulties of this present life, they are fragile realities compared with the glory of the new creation. Now, that doesn't mean that our sufferings are easy or that they're good things. No. A flat tire is not a good thing. A lost job is not a good thing. Cancer is not a good thing. Those are not and never will be good things. They are snakes, after all. But they are not the end of the world. Because Jesus has won glory. He's won glory for us with his boots and his shovel. All throughout the book of Romans, St. Paul has been speaking about Christ crucified and risen and how we are one with him. Jesus dies, we die. Jesus rises, we will rise. Jesus reigns in glory, we will reign in glory. In the two verses that come before our epistle reading, St. Paul draws all this together in a very practical way. He writes, "The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, also heirs. Heirs not only of God, but also co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we might be glorified together with him." Jesus' suffering is our suffering, and our suffering is Jesus' suffering. And Jesus met that suffering in the hayfield of his cross. He was afraid. "Father, take this cup from me." His hand shook. But then he did what he had seen his heavenly Father do. He slammed his shovel down again and again and again and again in the place of the snake. And that day he learned obedience through the things he suffered. Sufferings are not the end of the world. They die easily under Jesus' shovel. And maybe there's suffering in your life right now that is making you want to run back and forth through the trailer screaming. Maybe it's a health issue. Maybe it's a relationship problem. Maybe it's financial stress. But this morning, the Holy Spirit hands you Jesus' boots and shovel as you head off into the fields of your own crucifixion. He invites you to participate in Jesus and in Jesus' victory over the fear of suffering. Now, it's not going to be easy. I'm not going to pretend it's easy. It's a snake, after all. But you don't have to be afraid. Suffering is not the end of the world, because Jesus has won us glory, the glory that is to come. And that is good news. That is gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.